Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Lovely to see your beautiful faces. Maxi, heart's pounding. I'm really nervous, but I'm excited as well because I know God's spoken to me. And I was nervous a little bit because I'm going to go off-piste a little bit. But I might get kicked off the teaching team after today. I won't really. I'm just saying that to make Mike a little bit nervous so he listens to what I've got to say. But obviously, we're following on our identity and calling, aren't we? If you've been in your purpose groups, you've been coming on a Sunday morning, we've been talking about identity and calling. And looking at different people in the Bible and how that fits in their identity and their calling. But that's where I'm going off a little piece, because I did spend time looking through my Bible, believe it or not, did actually open it and look in. And I thought about a few people, and there's one or two in there, and thought about maybe Moses, and I thought about Daniel. I thought about Daniel and his integrity and how who he was didn't change where he was, you know. And I thought, this is just to prove that I did think about these things, but God said something else. I thought about Paul and Paul going one way and God turned him around about 10 and closed his eyes and spiritually and physically, and then opened his eyes and he was going on a different path. He had a new identity and a new name. But God spoke to me a few weeks ago, and listening to John Mark Comer's talks confirmed it, and then from then confirmed it a few other times as I got into his word. So let me crack on, because usually my introduction is 10 minutes, never mind the whole sermon. Okay, so it's kind of broken into three parts, and it was really about the simpleness of the calling of God. Sometimes we can make it really complicated, and I like theology, I like going deep. God was just talking to me about keeping it simple, simple gospel, kiss, keep it simple, stupid, and being called by God, what that actually means, and then our identity in terms of seeing ourselves, how God sees us, and those songs that you chose, Nadia, were absolutely brilliant. So let me start with the simple gospel. When I looked at identity and calling, but what does that actually mean, of course? And I got the email through off Chris, I think, and the title of the of Mike, maybe, a reminder, and it came up on my phone, Identity and Calling. I was looking at it in work, and I left it on my desk, and I left it open. And as I walked away from my desk to go and get changed, I'd just been training, I realised I'd left my phone open. I thought, well, if someone sees that, what they'll think. Not in a bad way, but I thought, if they saw Identity and Calling, I come back and they said, Sam, I just saw Identity and Calling on your phone. What does that mean? What's that all about? And I thought while I was getting in the shower, like, how would I explain Identity and Calling to someone who doesn't even know Jesus? And what does that even mean to them? It might mean Identity and Calling might mean a lot of different things these days to different people. The more I thought about it, I thought, I actually prepared myself for going back into the office and telling everybody what their identity and their calling was. I thought, I'm glad you've asked, let me tell you. I think I would have gone and talked to people about, because this is what I do. If I get an opportunity, I load both barrels and I blow the head off, and I probably just need to go simple and in gently, but I tend to like sweep the legs from under them. But I would talk about meaning and what is meaning in life, and our purpose, and what is our purpose in life, and that deep down, we all long for meaning and purpose, every one of us. Want some sort of meaning, our life to mean something. What does this? We don't want our lives to come to our end of our lives and think it meant nothing, and that it's just purposeless. I live and then I die, and that's the end. It's just an abyss. It's usually when people get to the end of themselves, or things that they rely on and trust in, and their comforts in life, that they ask those questions of what is the point in all this when they look around their lives. And I would go on to tell them that actually, is meaning and purpose, and that you were made by God. God crafted you, created you, he knit you together on purpose. It wasn't an accident, and that you are meant to be, not just physically, your personality, you know, that person that you are, God made you and designed you, and there's purpose to that existence, and that he's given you a name, and that your name is written in the palm of his hands, and that he knows it. And I can't wait to get to heaven to find out what my name in heaven is. That's exciting. That'd be pretty cool. He did that with all his disciples, you know, didn't he? And Sons of Thunder. I want a name like Sons of Thunder. That'd be a good one. So it doesn't matter, I'd say, you know, who you are. It doesn't matter if you're loud or quiet. Doesn't matter if you're the most popular, you've got best Instagram page and all the followers in the world, or you just feel like you go unnoticed through life, just walking through the shadows and no one ever sees you. Doesn't matter if you're a budding genius or you're below average in everything that you do, because God loves you so much and there's so much meaning and purpose that I know that, because he'd go to any lengths to be with you. In fact, he's already done it, because he sent his son Jesus to die for you. He called you by name, a bit like Samuel. He calls us by name. And it's only when we answer this call that we find this purpose and meaning. It's only when we stop in life to ask Jesus or answer the call of Jesus that we actually find any purpose and meaning. And this comes from understanding, and I've underlined understanding because it's not just understanding in our heads, it's understanding in our hearts. And this is so key to what I'm going to want to say today, is understanding in our hearts our identity in Christ. I'll just say that again. It's only when we answer this call you will find your purpose and meaning, and this comes from understanding your identity in Christ. And John Mark Comer was touching on that, and this is why he confirmed a lot of what I wanted to say. I had a picture of a phone. We've all got one of these, I think. We've all got a phone. Chris, you also, we've got a smartphone. Some might live in the dark ages and have a Nokia or something like that, one of those old ones. When you dial someone, it says at the top, doesn't it? It says calling, and it says your name underneath, doesn't it? And I was just looking at that and thinking about that. And I thought, Jesus got a mobile phone. I don't know what mobile phone. I think he might have a Nokia or the new iPhone. I don't know what one he might have. I reckon it'd be a good one, to be honest. He's in heaven. They have all the best stuff there. So I reckon I had the picture of Jesus, and it says calling, and then it says your name. So when I look around the screen and I see everybody, and I think to yourself, you know, what's your name? Picture that phone. Jesus got it, and it says calling at the top, and then it says, or Mike Mitchell or Nadia or Dave or Jane or Saz Devlin or whoever. It's got your name, Jesus. It's calling you on the phone. The question is, and I say this to anybody, is will you answer the phone? Will you swipe the little green button and say hello? Or will you swipe the red button and put the phone down? And we all have that choice. And most of us here, I think, looking at me today, we've all answered that phone and said yes. But I felt God saying, like, a lot of us has answered the phone at some point in our life, and we've been having that conversation with Jesus. And some people, they might not be here today if this is the case, have decided to put the phone down and hung the phone up. And put the phone down. I don't know, have you ever hung up on anybody in a conversation? Yeah. Probably have. And like most of you are probably way too mature than me and would never do something as outrageous as hang the phone up on somebody. Why do you hang the phone up on someone? And you hang the phone up because you probably don't like what the other person's saying. You've probably done your head in for some reason. They've upset you or whatever. So you've cut off that conversation. And I feel obviously there are people out there, there's people, and there might be someone here today who's feels like they've hung that phone up because there's something God's not done for you. There's things not working out for you. It's just some hurt that's happened in your life that you've maybe blamed God for or something. You've decided to hang that phone up. And then there's some who's put the phone, answered the phone and said hello. And at some point, they've decided to put the phone on hold or on mute or on hold. And when, I don't know if you've ever put someone on hold before, but usually when you put someone on hold, it's because there's some other call coming in. So you want to listen to that call instead. And I feel like some of us, maybe it's during this COVID period, just saying that some people have put me on hold because they're listening to some other call. They're listening to some, there's so many other calls in life, isn't there? So many things we could answer to, so many calls we could pick the phone up to, if you like, want to drag this picture out. We're going to bleed it to death. So many other calls that we could answer. Some of us may have been listening to that call and something's distracted us and we might just put God on hold again. And then the other end of the scale, you know, we might have put God on loudspeaker. You know, we've been putting things in place in our life we've been able to just put the phone down, put it on loudspeaker and go about our lives. I mean, Jesus displayed this perfectly, that he was always attentive to his Father's voice wherever he was. Wherever we are, whatever, you know, there could be a lot of different analogies, like I said, I could pull out of that. To hear a phone call, if I'm on the phone and the phone goes and I'm talking, I want to hear that phone call. If I'm in a noisy place, what do you need to do? So you could turn the volume up, you get the volume up to full blast. But usually what I'd need to do is I might have to put the finger in this ear so I could hear the voice, or might have to get out somewhere else so I can hear it better, so it's quieter. Again, Jesus did that, didn't he? Went off to a quiet place where he could spend time with his Father and hear his Father's voice. And some of us need to, like, box some stuff out. I need to get into a quieter place because God's talking to us and we've just not been able to hear him properly. And it's maybe a bit distorted. We're like, what's that? Can't hear ya. And we need to get into a quiet place. So that's my intro. I'm joking. God is calling us. Okay. We all, we know this and it's clear. And there's this saying, you might have heard of it. It says, God doesn't call qualified, qualifies the call. I like that saying, you might have heard that before. God doesn't call. I used to have that on our little group between me, Mark, and Stay, that as like our little picture on our WhatsApp group. He doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the call. I really like that, you know, it's encouraging for all of us. God doesn't call us. I think Nadi was just saying that, wasn't she? You know, think about what we are in Christ. But God doesn't call us because what have we done in the past? Clearly not. Now, if I think about my own life, or I think about all those characters in the Bible, they didn't qualify because of their resume, didn't qualify because of what they had on their CV, their qualifications and what they were good at. And now I thought, if you were to put CV in your application form for a position in the kingdom of heaven, what would you put on your CV? If I had to put in like an application form, get into the kingdom of heaven, what would I write on that? What sort of qualifies me? You know, what can I bring to the table? As I thought, no matter what I put on that, none of that matters. None of what I could put on there would qualify me to get into the kingdom of heaven. We live in a world of what we do, what we might have done, where we're from, what we look like, sadly, what gives us our social status and who we are. And therefore, I think that's why we're programmed to just find it hard to accept, not just from here into here, understand God's unconditional love for us, his unconditional love for who we are, because there's something just innate in us that we think we need to earn it and deserve it. And when we don't do good enough, that something changes within that status. Because there's nothing else in the world like it, nothing compares to it. I've not earned, go back to Nadia's song, I've not earned the status child of God. God's called me his child. And that's that. The fact. Sheldon isn't my son because he's good enough, because he deserves it, though he deserves everything he gets, because he qualifies. He doesn't earn status as my son. He doesn't earn my love for him. I just love him. And I've called him into my family and I've called him my child, and he'll take on my name. And that's a fact. That's who he is. And it won't matter what he does after this, because that is going to be a fact. He's in there. He knows I'm talking about him. And Jesus doesn't guess and see if we have what it takes. He calls us and qualifies us. He calls us and asks us to lay everything down first. And then he fills us and gives us what we need. Fills our hands. He does ask us to put what's in our hand down and then pick up what he's given for us. Sometimes that might be a very similar thing. God doesn't see the world. God doesn't see as the world sees, as we know. What God sees is the heart. And that's what God really sees in each and every person. You know, David, the real example of that, isn't he? Even after everything that God saw his heart. But think about any character. It doesn't matter who we're talking about. In this sermon series, God saw their hearts. That's what he, and you know, there's loads of scriptures I could help to back that up. God's thoughts are not your thoughts, neither is the way he thinks about you. where you think about you. And we need to see and we need to think how he thinks about us. Makes sense. Seeing Jesus how he sees you. This is my last bit. This is where it all started in my preparation. God gave me, well, actually, it wasn't even a picture. I don't know if you've had this. I'm not sure I have. I was up in the morning. It's usually when I'm half asleep, going to bed or waking up, I really hear God's voice. Isn't that funny? When I'm quiet enough to hear. And I was stood in the kitchen. It wasn't a picture. It was just the situation and the circumstances. And God started to speak to me about it. It was one of those moments that I need to write this down, otherwise I'm going to forget. Then I didn't write it straight away, but he just was speaking to me about it, and I did write it all down, and he's not let me forget about it. It was like 6 weeks ago, something like that now. Anyway, I came downstairs in the morning. As it was morning, and I was stood in my kitchen. Those who've been in my kitchen will know. I was looking out into the garden. It was a beautiful morning. The sun was dawning, and this colour of the skies were beautiful, and I could see all the trees. I couldn't tell you what colour all the leaves were, but they were definitely different colours. Colourblind, by the way, if you don't realise. The grass looked particularly orange that day. I could see all the flowers, and it was just looking out. It's like it's absolutely beautiful. I forgot what I'm up to. Yeah, so look, then, and you know, I saw this little bird fly down. It's going about. And it was going about, and it's like, I was just feeling like, God, your creation is amazing, so beautiful. Then I realized, as this bird was bobbing about, couldn't actually see the whole picture properly because I was looking through glass. Actually, as the bird bobbed about, I had to try and move myself about to try and see the bird properly. And what was obscuring my view was everything that was behind me. And it was the reflection on the glass was distorting what was in front of me because of everything that was going on behind me. And you can see where I'm going. Everything behind me was stopping me seeing what was ahead. God started to speak to me about how, unfortunately, I think Mark Homer talked about this, is our past. He started to speak to me about how our past is determining how we see our future. Our past, everything that has gone on before us, our lives, like determining how we live, and that's like, you know, our experiences, things, bad things that have happened to us, how we view things, how we see things. And I think Mark was on the sermon was talking about, if I can remember now, it's a few weeks ago, living in Christ is about living in that future, living in that hope, living in that peace of the things to come, and before that, living on the things that have happened and the things that have been and the things gone before. Sheldon's got something to show me. He's got raspberries. You okay, mate? Just be quiet then. I talk. Say hello now. You're here. No. Okay. How we see things, how we react to things, and how we think is shaped from what's gone on before. When we come to know Jesus, Jesus shapes everything in our future and who we are today. What has happened in the past doesn't shape who we are. Who God has called us into be shapes us who we are. Like Mike was saying, I am chosen. That shapes me who I am for that future of that day. Not what has happened to my past where someone says, I can't fit. It's shaping me to who I am today. Makes sense. Now, all those things, I am holy, I am clothed in righteousness, friend of Jesus. I'm a friend of Jesus. That's mad. I'm a brother, I'm called a son or a daughter, and royalty. So I could see the garden and its beauty, and it took me a while to notice that it was blurred, because what I thought I was seeing was the beautiful picture, and it took me a while to realise that actually my vision was blurred. And, you know, I turned the light off, I opened the window, and I could see a little bit better. What I had to do was needed to do. Once I realised that my vision was being blurred, I had to get out in the garden to see everything properly. So what I did was, obviously, I removed myself from the kitchen completely and stood in the garden. I could see everything amazing. In fact, I could pick up on everything five senses. I could feel it. I could smell it. You know. Okay, mate, you go sit over there. And I could see everything in much more clarity, and I could experience it in much more clarity. But what was good saying is, first, I had to recognize, and we need to recognize the things that are blurring our vision of who God wants us to be. So if we're going to be called, if we're going to live in our identity, we need God to reveal to us what things in the past or what things have been spoken over to us, distorting how we see God, how we see our future, how we see ourselves as a child of God, how we see, you know, all those things. We need God to reveal those things to us. And then when we reveal those things, God reveals those things, we need to leave them behind. And I do believe God wants to show us. And for some of us, that might mean even some comforts. We can surround ourselves things and identify ourselves with the things that surround us. We can surround ourselves and identify our things with the disappointments, the fears and the hurts from our past. And even they can give us a sense of control over those things as we hold on to them. From words spoken over to you, wrong beliefs about yourself, that you're unlovable or you're hard to get on with or you're rejected or your worth isn't much, you know, and we can hold on to those and we can accept what God says about us in our head, but not in our hearts. And loads of examples. So I ask God, what comforts, what things in my life, what things in my past have I become dependent on or that are stopping me from seeing who you truly are? As we just sang in that song, God says, the sun sets free, he's free indeed. John 8:36 says, so if the sun sets you free, you are free indeed. God doesn't shortchange us. Never found when I've really given something up for God, and I've really pursued him, at some point I've thought, what? I wish I chose the other option, option B. God has never shortchanged me. He's been ups and downs, but he's never shortchanged me. And what God has in fullness is greater than what we try to control. So we've answered the call. We need to turn up the volume and drown out that exterior noise. And we need to go out and stand in the garden. And I'll just read a little bit of scripture to finish, because I'm going to do a Tom here. Say, this is me, one of my favourites, this one. It's one of my favourites. Which Tom doesn't realise he says that for the whole Bible. I think he does, but it's all his favourites. This is one of my new favourites. It's Ephesians, and it's good because John Mark Comer was reading that. And if you don't mind, I'm going to read it out of two versions. Like a bit of amplified. Let's amplify it a little bit more. But I'll start with, I think I've done the NSAB just for mixing it up. Start off with, anyway, it's Ephesians 1:18-23, which we all know well. I bet Tom's nodding away. Yes, I know that one. I pray that eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know. So I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know. Not so that you may know, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of glory in his inheritance in the saints? And what is the boundless greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places. Mike said that power that lives in us lives in me. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. He put all things in subjection under his feet and made him head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him. Wow, he fills all in all. I do want to read it again because it just, and then finished. And then if we can, if we've got a song, we can sing that, sort of listen to that song on Nadia's webs. I'm going to read it in the amplified. And I pray that the eyes of your heart, very center and core of your being, may be enlightened, flooded with the light of the Holy Spirit, so that you will know it's the Holy Spirit that reveals these things to us. And cherish the hope, divine guarantee, and confident expectation to which he has called you. Riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, God's people. And so that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his active spiritual power is in us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength, which he produced in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, whether angelic or human, and far above every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and the world, also in the one to come. And he put all things in every realm in subjection under Christ's feet, and appointed him supreme and authoritative head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills and completes all things in all believers. Okay, thanks guys, thanks for listening.